On today's episode of the podcast, I share the very surprising news in that I have somehow become a gym person. I know, it's very shocking. I talk a bit about the very complicated relationship I've had with the gym and the idea of strength training. And then I share a bit about my really serious body image issues that I struggled with throughout most of my teens and far into my adult life. And then I talk about how I've actually made it back to the gym lately and how it's starting to really make a change inside of me. I have consistently been strength training now almost every single day for the past few weeks, and it's doing something magical with my body and my mind. So whether or not you are a gym person, if you have a complicated relationship with your body, or if you feel weak, if you feel strong, this episode is for you. Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with their signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. Let's jump in. Okay, my friends, hello, hello, welcome to a brand new episode of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. I am so glad that you're here. So I'm sitting here smiling really big right now because I just started recording the podcast, and in the intro, I burped kind of loudly. And then I had a moment where I was like, should I just, yeah, that's fine. And I just kept talking. I'm like, we're at that level where I just burp at the very beginning of the show and we leave that in the intro. That's like, no big deal. And then I just checked myself and it's like, hey, can we maintain some level of professionalism here? Just because we tell each other all of our secrets, just because I'm an open book sharing everything with you doesn't mean I have to burp in the actual intro of the show. So yeah, you're welcome for me starting over. And as I say that, I'm like touching the side of my face and there's something soft and gooey there. And I'm like, what is it? And then I pick it off and I see it's a very soft mashed piece of carrot that bear has left on my face. Yeah, I'm just a vision of glamour today. I'm just, she's beauty, she's grace. Anyway, hi everybody. Hi, I hope you're well. I really, really, really hope you're well. I am doing amazing. Yeah, I'm really sitting here. I'm in a really great mood. I am, yeah, obviously able to make myself crack up because of burps and carrot mash. So obviously that's like the baseline. That's the criteria for how you know you're in a good place. Burps and carrots. No, I'm riding that little endorphin high that comes after, okay, drum roll please. Are you ready? Do you know what I'm going to say? After going to the gym. Yeah, I'm sitting here now. It is April something, end of April, 2024. I am 35 years old, mother of two, and I actually, I can't believe I'm going to say it. I have become a gym person. I clutched my heart. No. How is it true? Is it true? Yeah, I have to just be honest with myself and admit I am a gym person. What? How did that happen? Wait, no. How did that happen? It's true. It's just happened. I don't know even how to navigate this conversation right now. So I've been going to the gym. Okay. I don't know how much I've talked about that, just a little bit here and there on the show, because I have this standing joke about gym people and being a gym person. And the reason I joke about gym people is because I secretly want to be a gym person. Like, I wish I was one of those people who can just walk into a gym and know, right? But I am not that person. I am intensely insecure about the gym. I've always felt out of place whenever I have, for whatever reason, entered a gym. Like, it's just not, which never happens. But if it's ever happened, I feel immensely insecure. And to counter that, I've had to make up a lot of jokes about gym people to kind of, like, you know, so everyone knows I don't want to be one. Like, I am a yoga person. Okay, I'm a lot of things, but I am not a gym person, and I don't understand gym people, but secretly I wanna be one of them. But, you know, I'm not. So yeah, we just make fun of gym people instead, right? And when I say make fun, I mean obviously, you know, with love as always. But yeah, I started going to the gym. I'm going to this office gym. It's a gym where nobody goes. It's a gym where I'm like, yeah, and I go at the weirdest hour of the day. So there's like never anybody there. And it's really close to the house. So I can just, you know, if I'm efficient and Dennis gives me grace, which he does all the time, I can just kind of head over there, do like 45 minutes and I'm back, and the whole thing takes 1 hour. We also have help at the house now. We have a babysitter on Tuesdays and Thursdays, our neighbor, who's just amazing. Her name is Lena. She comes over and hangs out with Bear. So I have like Tuesdays and Thursdays for sure have become gym days now. And then Dennis has been helping me out. And even like, I've been calling like my brother. That's how dedicated I suddenly became, where this week on Monday, Dennis was busy all day. I knew there's no way I'm going to make it. And then I just called my brother. I'm like, hey, you want to come hang out with Bear while he naps, so I can just go to the gym real quick? And he was like, sure. Dennis was in shock. He was like, I cannot believe how dedicated you suddenly are to the gym. You're like a gym person now. And I was like, no. I'm not a gym person. I'm just like kind of figuring out like what I like, and, you know, feels good to just move again. He's like, no, you're making efforts now to get to the gym, like real efforts. Like, that's what gym people do. And I'm like, no, I'm not a gym person. I'm just a person who goes to the gym, But I started going. So I started working out. Let me like rewind this little tape here. So I have a complicated relationship with the idea of going to a gym. And the reason that is, I think, there's a couple of reasons. So the only real experience I have had in my life with gyms, just like regular gyms where people go and do strength training and lift weights and all the things, is I used to go when I was a teenager, and I really had a messed up relationship with my body. I mean, we all did as teenagers. Many of us still do. But for me, it was really one of those things where as a teenager, I felt like I was not good enough. I felt like my body was not good enough. I always felt like I was overweight and needed to lose weight or needed to be more toned, or there was something wrong with my stomach or my arms or my thighs or my butt. I was, you know, able to pick my whole body apart. And the consensus was always that I was too big. And I'm saying this now knowing it is absolutely it's absolutely valid that I felt that way. And for anyone who feels that way, it is so valid and passed down to us by society and parents and people in our lives. And, you know, we're conditioned into this place where we all basically just have a messed up relationship with our bodies and hate our bodies on and off throughout our lives. And I was, when I look back, I mean, I was a really skinny person and was and have been kind of normative in the normative range, like the range of body weight that is acceptable, right, in society. I don't think there's a time where I can look at my body and say that I, you know, I've never not been able to find clothes at a regular clothing store. You know, I definitely don't suffer the stigma that many people do across the world. I have not been in that place. So I'm sharing this just kind of, I'm very objective and I know that. But that's not what it felt like when I was a teenager. And I was, you know, I look back at pictures of myself and I was so just tiny little person. But I always felt like I was too big. I always felt like I was out of place in my body. Looking back, I can't really remember truly. I mean, maybe my early finding yoga days. Like I've had, of course, times in my life where I've felt steady in my body and strong in my body and secure in my body. But I can't remember a time in my life where all those thoughts have just completely gone away. Even in my most steady cycles and seasons in my life, I would still, you know, if I have a bad week or something would happen or, you know, I don't know, I would enter a little dip and then all of a sudden those negative thoughts about my own body would return. I can't remember ever having freedom from that inner critic, that critical mind. Maybe only being pregnant, to be honest, are the only times in my life, extended long periods of time, where my inner critical voice has been just completely quiet. And I think there's something about that, about getting to be embodied, getting to experience life from our bodies versus standing on the outside with our minds and our egos, looking in, judging, you know, picking ourselves apart. There's something about growing, the miracle of growing a human, I think, that just drops us into what's actually real and what's actually true, which is that our bodies are miracles. Our bodies are absolutely amazing. And not just at those times in our lives where we are, you know, engaged in certain practices, or when we are working out a lot, or when we are skinny, or when we are healthy, or when we're not in pain, or, you know, at every stage of our lives, regardless of what we are moving through and regardless of what this body looks like, it is a freaking miracle to be here in this skin suit and to be alive and everything this body does for us and allows for us. And it's just, you know, it's too big to put into words how incredible this body is. Always. But the only extended periods of time that I can remember in my own life where I have actually felt that way is during pregnancy. And that sucks. I mean, it really does. That sucks. I can sort of laugh at it now, but it's really, really, really sad. I'm 35 years old. And I think I can remember the first time I really looked at my body in that way, as in, instead of just playing and being present and, you know, being there, actually stepping outside of myself and looking at my reflection in the mirror and going, oh no, you know, I think maybe I was 9 or 10. I can remember, I have shared on this podcast, like I have very vivid memories of being 9 years old and hearing a comment from a man about my body for the first time in a way that was, yeah, inappropriate, and in a way that would sort of set the tone for how men would continue to talk about me and about my body for the rest of my life. But I have that first early memory being 9 years old, and an acquaintance of the family sort of looked me up and down, and with eyes that I can remember even at nine, did not feel safe. Like with eyes that were, yeah, I really remember like kind of wanting to shrink inside of myself and kind of, yeah, wanting to run away, where he looked me up and down and then turned to my dad and said, "Whew, you're going to have your hands full with this one," you know, and made a comment about my body. 9 years old, a child, right? So it's so, for me anyway, when I kind of think back at my own journey of body stuff and body acceptance and body struggles and struggles with self-image, all of these things have compounded throughout my life. And it started way earlier, you know, before I was 9 years old, but that was the time that I could kind of, yeah, remember that, oh, wait, this is a, it's not just me and who I am. It's like, I have this body and people are looking at me in a certain way. And then after that, hearing the comments and reading the magazines and all the things that we did growing up of what we're supposed to look like, what beautiful means, how much we're supposed to weigh. And for me, I think adding to that was I had a mother who was bulimic when I was little. We've talked about that on the show a lot. She was on the show talking about that many, many, many years ago now. But yeah, a mom with a very complicated relationship to her own body, which I think if we look back, most of our mothers had that. Their generation, I think it was maybe even worse. I don't know if there is such a thing as a worse time or a better time. I feel like it's all crap for young girls at all times. But I do remember that feeling of just my mom was always smaller than me. I mean, even I think when I was like 9, 10, 11, we were kind of, you know, the same size or I was still younger or smaller than her. But as soon as I hit my teenage years, I became taller and bigger than her. And I can remember that, like feeling like I was just awkward in my own skin. Like I grew too big too fast. And suddenly I had to wear clothes that were like a bigger size than my own mom's. And like being 14 and we could just like trade clothes with each other. I mean, it's kind of a complicated place to be. And she did the very best she could. And this was not something that was willingly passed on to me. But of course, the way we act and how we think about ourselves and how we navigate life is what our children absorb, regardless of what we tell them. And I think about that all the time, that I can tell Leia all day how beautiful she is and how important it is to love ourselves and how magical and miraculous our bodies are. But if I'm talking like that, but internally I'm thinking thoughts to myself about how I am not good enough, how I am overweight or too big or not toned enough, ugly, bad, terrible. Like if I'm thinking those thoughts, that's the energy that she's absorbing. And she's going to know that there's a discrepancy between my words and my thoughts, and a discrepancy most likely between my words and my actions. So it's not just talking the talk, right, about self-love to our kids. It's walking the walk of self-love. And eventually, as our kids get older, I think there's going to be a moment where we can be honest about that. Like, I'm not there yet. Leia's only 7 years old. But eventually, you know, I don't want to hide from her the insecurities and the things that I do struggle with myself as if everything is easy and perfect. And because it's not. It's not. It's really hard. And when I was little, just having that talk at the house about weight and about what to eat and dieting and eating very little at times and just having a very complicated relationship with food at home and lots of talk about bodies and what bodies are supposed to look like and what constitutes a big body and what's a small body and big bodies are bad and small bodies are good. And then, you know, you head out into the world and every single thing you hear and watch on TV and read in magazines, I mean, especially in the 90s, the early 2000s, it's just telling you again and again that you're supposed to be this size and everything else is just unacceptable. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? I float between never wanting to leave my farm and see anyone to really missing my friends and meeting new people. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I used to feel guilty when I wanted to stay home and be all by myself. The FOMO was so real. But after working on this with my therapist, I realized that I actually recharge through alone time. So it's important to me, I deserve it, and it means I can't be everywhere where everybody wants me to be at all times. And my real friends understand that and they can respect those boundaries. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/yogagirl today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/yogagirl. As I was growing up, I was completely absorbed in this false narrative that I was not good enough, that my body was not good enough, even though objectively I was very thin and very pretty and I had all these things going for me. It didn't feel that way. It never felt that way. I think I knew because I could kind of, you know, as I hit my teenage years, I figured out how to move through the world and use my beauty in different ways. I knew that if I dressed in this way, I would provoke attention from men in that way. Like I figured all this out at a very, 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 very young age and felt awful all throughout. And at the same time, there was this sort of this understanding that I'm pretty. I always knew that when I was a teenager, people told me all the time that I'm so pretty and you should be a model. I was objectively a beautiful young girl, but I never felt that way. So there was almost like everyone just kept affirming it's so important to be beautiful. And that was the thing people told me all the time. It was very rarely, oh, but you're so smart, right? Oh, but you're so intelligent, or oh, you're so creative, or oh, you're so playful, or oh, no, it was never any other quality affirmed as important, right? It was just the external that was continuously pushed as this most important thing. And I can remember the stress of like, well, I have to be pretty all the time. I have to look a certain way all the time. And if any of this changes, if I gain a little bit of weight or if my body shifts or then I'll lose that and I won't be accepted and I won't be worthy anymore. I think what I'm trying to put words into now is this experience that we've had collectively. I know I'm not alone in this, and this is something that as women particularly, we all absolutely share. So when I was, I think 15, I decided I think 15 was the time when I actually started growing like proper shapes, like proper form. Like I started getting breasts and I started just getting that, like finally the feminine curves, putting more, a little bit more fat on my bones. And I remember feeling that all of that was just a terrible thing. Like everything was a terrible thing. And no one really explained to me that this is a natural part of growing up. And the softness and the curves of the feminine body are so incredibly beautiful, however they manifest. I just felt very alone, and all of a sudden my body was changing and I didn't know how to navigate that, and it felt bad, and gaining weight felt bad. So I decided I'm going to go to the gym, because that's what people did. That's what all my friends did. At 14, 15, I'm going to go to the gym. So I signed up and I got this year membership at a gym close to my school and started going all the time. And it wasn't from a place of, oh, it feels good to move your body, right? Like that whole truth was just never really a part of the equation, because it does feel amazing to move your body. It wasn't that. It was really purely, I am terrified of getting fat. I'm terrified to gain weight. I need to not only maintain the weight that I have, but I have to lose some. And the way to do that was to burn a lot of calories, because there was just a lot of talk in my school at that time about calories in and calories out. And I would go to the gym and I would stand on a treadmill and try to run. Not a good runner, walk, or just spend time there, kind of staring at that little number of the calories burnt, slowly watching them tick up, like 1, 2, 3, 4, realizing and understanding how slowly that number changed, right? To go from burning 10 calories to 100 to 300 to, how much time and how much work it took to burn calories, knowing that, hey, if I have a slice of pizza after this, this is all for nothing. And obviously, this is a very, very faulty way of looking at movement and a very untrue way of looking at energy going in and energy going out. But this is just what I knew or what I thought was true, that, hey, here's a slice of pizza. It's this many calories. Here's how far you have to run to burn all of that off to get back to zero. Even talking about this, I can kind of sense this like internal stress firing up inside. Imagine living your way, your whole life that way. And people do, and not just as teenagers, like people do now. There's people all over the world who literally think about food all day and think about calories all day, and who have this very old frame of thinking so ingrained in their being that most of their mental space in a day is occupied by this outdated idea of how many calories are on my plate, what am I eating, and how hard do I have to work to burn this off at the gym. And as I speak about this now, it's just so evident and clear to me that this is disordered thinking, disordered living. And it's been very normalized. I don't mean to put anybody down. If anyone listening now, it's like, well, I live my life that way. I don't mean to judge you, because it's not your fault. It is society's fault. It's the media's fault. It's, you know, we can go into the who's to blame and all of that, but it's not your fault. We did not make ourselves this way. I don't think anybody wants to live their life in that rigid kind of way where you can't relax and just live, right? Where you have to meticulously think about every single thing that goes in to your body. That is just, for me, no way to live. And I had those years, those like teenage years of having that gym membership, trying to get to the gym as much as I could, but I never lifted a single weight when I was there all that time, all those teenage years spent at the gym. I never did a single thing to strengthen my body, because that was not why I was there. I was there to burn calories so I could stay skinny and still eat. That's literally it. It's so ridiculous, but that's why I was there. And it took, I don't know how long. I mean, it took doing that while also drinking heavily and partying heavily. And I was smoking a pack of cigarettes a day at that time. I did till I was 17, which is crazy, almost 18, I think. You know, I was overall just very, very, very unhealthy. I was thinking unhealthy, toxic thoughts about myself and about the world. I was eating toxic foods. I was inhaling toxic substances. I was drinking toxic stuff. I was just, my whole life just felt very toxic, but it really began from inside, because I had these scary thoughts about who I was supposed to be and how I didn't fit in. And most of it, I used to try to numb myself because I didn't want to feel, or I didn't know how to feel. Feeling was so overwhelming and so scary. And there was so much trauma in my past that I didn't know how to process. So the idea of feeling anything meant it felt like an avalanche is going to crash over me and I'm not going to be able to survive that. So I had to sort of shut down. And of course, when you're in that place of shutting down and numbing yourself, it becomes crucial that you have something in your life that you can control. When you feel like everything is out of control and you can't even control your own emotions or what's happening inside of you, controlling what you eat, calories in, calories out, is a pretty low-hanging fruit, right? It's easy to reach for, especially at that age. And I would stand on that treadmill, you guys, I can so remember. And I would stand on that treadmill just staring at myself in the mirror with my jaw clenched, listening to music, probably, I'm assuming, with little headphones. I used to have I had a pink little iPod, those iPod shuffles. Do you remember those? They held like 100 songs or something. But yeah, I had that. And then I just did that. And then I would get you know, to a point where I felt exhausted, you know, I couldn't continue anymore, or I was out of time, I had something else I had to do. And then I would push a little bit more just to try to burn a couple more calories. And all I focused on was that number, like how many calories went out. And then I would try to, you know, continue my day and then do the same thing the next day. Sometimes in life, skepticism can serve you well. It can save you money, keep you from wasting a day at a timeshare presentation, and help you avoid spreading gossip. To be honest, when I'm faced with a new scenario, I usually tend to be a skeptic until something proves me wrong. And if you're like me, you can probably spot a too good to be true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job. That's where Ritual comes in. They know that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Take 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption, and you'll get 9 key nutrients. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. On top of that, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. I take my vitamins every morning with breakfast. It's part of my daily ritual, and I feel so good doing it. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. So my relationship with the idea of going to the gym has never been anything really about building strength, which is, I think, a reason why a lot of people go to the gym, is to get strong. That was never it for me. For me, it was just this manifestation of something I felt like I had to do to not be unworthy, right? To stay really skinny or to lose weight, even though I had no weight to lose. And it took, honestly, it took leaving Sweden. I had this very disordered thing that I did. I mean, it was, yeah, maybe from 14 to 18, something like that. And it took leaving Sweden and changing my whole life and leaving all of my friends and the boyfriend I had at the time and leaving my parents and my childhood home and moving across the whole world alone to something brand new. Like, it took that to drop those terrible habits. And finding yoga was probably the thing that led me to a real embodiment practice. It was my first experience of actually moving my body while being in my body. Instead of moving my body while checking out, yoga became that first experience of, hey, not only is it safe for me to be present in my body, but my body can actually be this incredible vehicle for pleasure, like for joy, for play, for feeling strong, for all of these amazing things, instead of my body being something I felt like I had to escape from and run from. It became a place I wanted to be. And yoga opened that door for me in every way. And then from there, everything changed. Right? From there, everything changed, and I changed my diet and my life, and my thoughts started changing from meditating a lot, and I started doing tons of therapy and reading all the books, and all of a sudden, my insides changed, right? That really critical voice, that hateful voice, which is the voice I had when I was a teenager. It wasn't just critical, it was hateful. That voice became more and more quiet, and I started finding something that resembled self-love, right? But all throughout, like no matter where I went, no matter how beautiful my life became, because yeah, as you know, if you listen to this podcast, a lot has changed since then in those, what is it now, 17 years. Holy shit. Okay, so I guess the last time I had a relationship with a gym was half of my life ago. Wow. Yeah, I'm 35 now. That was 17 something years ago. So throughout that, for the rest of my life, or as my adult life began, anytime someone would go to the gym, or I had a friend who was like, yeah, I started going to the gym, I always had that feeling of like, oh, like, why would you do that? Like, why would you go to the gym? Like that, oof. The idea for me just felt, oh, that is not it. That just felt very dark and very rigid and not at all a place of embodiment. Really, for me, it was kind of the image of as far away as I could picture something that felt like embodiment. The gym must be the opposite of embodiment. The gym is judgment. The gym is calories in, calories out. The gym is disorder. The gym is, because that's what I experienced there. And then I think, I don't know, I think after having Leia at some point, I had really good friends who started going to the gym and they started strength training. And I remember having that feeling of like, I think like that sounds interesting. Like strength training sounds, yeah. But I had my yoga practice and I was running a little bit then. I did some trail running then. But mostly yoga. Like yoga was the end all and be all for me always. And I always felt like I get everything I need. You know, I get to build strength and balance and flexibility and space. And I get to be in this incredible place where I get to meditate and also share this practice. Like I really felt yoga had everything. But there was a little spark there of like strength training sounds kind of cool. Like it sounds like, yeah, I was a little interested. Not interested enough to go with any of my friends to the gym. Probably because I was really scared to enter that space again. And then after Bear came, no, when I was pregnant with Bear, this is what happened. I don't know if I've told this story. I have to tell this story. This is really funny. So we moved to Sweden and there's a great gym. That's not where I go now because that gym is filled with people, but there's a really great gym in the little town where close to where we live. And they also have like group classes and things like that. And for some reason, my brother managed to get me and Dennis like a free membership. They work somehow with them. It was like a work thing. And we managed to get a free membership each. And Dennis kind of lost all of his biking community when we left Aruba. So he was looking for a way to move his body again that was different. And what do you do in the winter when you can't be outside? And so we're like, hey, let's try going to the gym. So we decide to go. We make an appointment with a personal trainer because I had no experience at the gym. The idea of just going to a gym, like I would absolutely not know what to do, but I felt intrigued and we had this free membership and I wanted to go. So I make an appointment with this personal trainer at this gym. And I think the day before our appointment, we find out that I'm pregnant. So this is October 2022. We find out that I'm pregnant. And we've known I'm pregnant for one day, right? And then we're on our way to the gym. And I'm like, hey, Dennis, I think we're going to have to tell the trainer that I'm pregnant. He was like, but we haven't even told ourselves yet. He's still like in shock trying to process the fact that we're going to have another baby. And he's like, we can't just tell a random stranger that we've never met. I'm like, yeah, but it feels like the kind of thing that a personal trainer should know. He's like, but what do you think she's going to make you do? Like, you know, this is our first time. Like it's going to be no. And you know your body. Like if something doesn't feel good, you're just not going to do it. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay, maybe like later on if it becomes like, you know, we'll let her know. But this was like, we'd never met this person ever. So we get in and we're like doing little warm-ups in this room. And then she guides us. Her name is Netta. She's amazing. I mean, I love her. I still train with her today. But this is like not a year and a half ago. And we're doing this like little warm-up, little stretching. And then she says something. She's like, okay, so like, how strong are you guys? Like, hey, we're going to engage our core here a little bit. Like, you feel good? And then it's like, yeah, no, I feel pretty good. And then she makes a joke. She goes in to like punch, you know, how like a boxer will like she just like puts her fists out and like goes for a little like, okay, engage your abs. And then she goes as if she's going to punch me really hard in the stomach. She's making a joke. Okay. It's just a joke. She doesn't actually punch me or touch me, but she pretends to, right? So she like pretend punches me in the gut as I'm one day pregnant. you know, to be funny. And as she did that, I'm like, I'm pregnant. And she was just so mortified. She was like, what? Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I was so sorry. I'm like, no, that's not your fault. And you know, you didn't actually punch me. She's like, oh my God, that must have been so scary for you. Holy shit. I'm so sorry. I was just kidding. So that's how we started. We joked about this just the other day. Like I was telling the story. I brought a friend to the gym with her, and I was telling her the story of our first day training together. She was like, yeah, did Rachel tell you I pretend punched her in the stomach as she was pregnant? So we can really laugh at that now. But yeah, so that's how we started with her. And I was pregnant. And then we had a couple of months there, like very early pregnancy, I think 3-4 months of beginning of pregnancy, of just doing some gentle strength training at the gym. We would go once a week, I think once a week, maybe twice a week, once or twice a week with her. And it was great. Like it was really, really, really great. And it was great having a person there because we could enter the gym with all the cool gym people, right? Who just go and they know what they're doing. And we would just like go to our person and she would tell us what to do. So I never had to feel out of place because that's the feeling that really sucks. It's like entering a gym when you're not a gym person and everything feels so daunting. And maybe part of that is like our own complicated relationship with gyms and with strength training and with losing weight and all of those things. Like for me, it just feels like stepping into a gym because I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know if I'm doing anything right. I just feel so out of place. Like that's really it. I can't imagine feeling more out of place than at a gym. I mean, truly. Even though I know nobody cares about anybody else. I'm sure every single person who is at the gym, they're doing their thing. They have a limited time that they're there. They're not looking at other people or caring about other people or judging other people. I'm sure people are way too self-absorbed to focus on what other people are doing in general, like any area, wherever we go. I know that. But I always like the idea of just being at the gym. It made me feel so self-conscious. So like, oof, so hard. But having her there made it much easier. And then I got to a point where I started getting this really intense pelvic pain because the baby got heavy really quickly. And I think like month 4 or something, I just didn't feel good. And almost nothing we did at the gym felt good. Everything just started hurting. And instead of kind of getting stronger and feeling like, hey, I'm like enjoying this, I just started feeling worse and worse and stopped. Like that's what happened. And that's it. And then I gained a gazillion kilos, literally a gazillion kilos, got really huge, grew a 10-pound baby, and basically didn't move for the rest of that pregnancy because I had so much pelvic pain. So I went from like having a little bit of just beginning to like build a little bit of strength after having a year of not moving my body so much to entering this pregnancy and basically just seizing all movement. Essentially, I was like on the couch for 5 more months or something like that. And that was it. And then baby came and postpartum and took it so easy. And I had that moment, I think Bear was like 4 or 5 months old, where I'm like, hey, I think I want to eventually get back to that strength training. Like, I think I want to, it felt so good. And there's obviously something pulling me there. So for the first few months, I had Nette, my personal trainer. She would come to the house once a week and we would do postpartum, just very gentle, basically just healing work at home. And that felt so good. Like that felt really, really, really good. It's not something I got to do after being pregnant with Leia. Like I just popped Leia out and then I was in a handstand. You know, I was just doing my yoga practice the same way I was before. And this felt really good, felt like integrating my body again. I also felt very, very weak. I don't think I've ever felt so weak as I did after this pregnancy. I'm out of breath and weak and felt heavy and felt just kind of not, I felt out of place in my own body a little bit. And then this past, I don't know, is it 2 months? I think past 2 months, something changed where I started going to this gym, this office gym where nobody goes, and just doing the things that I now know a little bit more how to do, like these machines that when I used to step into a gym and I would just look at them and they're like outer worldly alien things that I don't know what to do with. Like I started figuring out now, like I know what to do in some of these things. Like I can look, go to this machine and I know how to make the settings fit my body. And then I'm going to do that 12 times. And then I'm going to do this other thing 12 times. And then I'm going to go back to that thing. And then all of a sudden I had like a little flow going. And then I would bring my trainer to this gym. She's like, this is so cool. Like nobody's here. And she would give me a little program and write it down. And I would take a picture of it. And then I would just go back on my own and do exactly the same thing alone. And eventually, I don't know, a couple weeks just like in, I start feeling really, really good. Strangely, I don't know, light bulb. Everyone listening to this has been going to the gym forever. It's like, duh. But I just started feeling less out of place. And I started realizing that the feeling of being out of place is in myself. It's not so much about like what the gym looks like or who goes there or what to do there. It's like the idea of focusing in my body in this way was just so ingrained with that really complicated past that I decided that this whole thing is not for me. And I can never be a gym person. And look at all those other gym people. But here we are, like 2 months in now to properly like going to the gym. And the past 2 weeks, I almost don't want to say it because I'm going to jinx it. I've been going like 5 times a week. I've been going like 5 times a week. Who does that? You know who does that? You know who goes to the gym 5 times a week? A gym person. That's who goes to the gym 5 times a week. And I know I'm probably on some little high right now where I'm just super inspired and I've managed to make these 2 weeks work. Like probably it's going to be like 2 or 3 times a week most likely as moving forward. But I have been like, it's been almost like a week where I've gone every day now. And somehow I just make it work. I don't know how. I'm so inspired. I feel so motivated. I go there, I listen to really good music, and I just follow these little routines that I have now, and I do the same thing. I have 4 things that I do, and I just rotate them. And now it's gone to the point where I can increase the weight on the exercises that I'm doing. I've never had that happen, where I'm suddenly feeling stronger in this one specific thing. I can really do that really easily. I know what things are called now. Like I know what a deadlift is. Do you know what I did not know what a deadlift was. I had to Google, if you're wondering how foreign the gym was for me, I had to Google what is a rep and what is a set. I'm serious. I didn't know, like, what's the difference? Why are you doing so and so many reps and sets? Like, what is that? I did not know what that was. In case you also don't know, so reps are the repetitions you do of the same exercise. And then the set is how many times you're doing those repetitions. See, I'm like a pro. I'm like I could like lead the gym now. I could be just the gym guide. What do you call them? No, I totally could not. But yeah, I feel so funny just even sharing this. This is so ridiculous. So what's happened now in the past 2 weeks, basically the 2 weeks of going really consistently, is I wake up in the morning and I'm excited to go to the gym. And I don't know how I'm going to make it to the gym, if it's going to be during Bear's nap and someone is home with Bear, or if it's me taking Bear to the gym, putting him to sleep in the stroller, which I haven't done yet, but I'm contemplating doing that at some point if I must, or if it's like end of day while Dennis comes home, or first thing in the morning. Like it's just like I'm a stay-at-home mom who records a podcast. Like I can puzzle my day, and at some point every day I just kind of make it to the gym and I feel so strong. I could cry right now. I feel so strong. Do you know how long it's been since I felt strong? Any sense of strength in my own body? It's been a long time. Yeah. And I'm not even talking just pre-pregnancy. I think pre-pregnancy came after a year of not moving so much for me. So I was not in super shape before this pregnancy. I think it's been, 3 years maybe since I felt like strong and good in my body. And especially the contrast of being heavily pregnant and birth and postpartum and all of that to what I'm feeling now. And, you know, has my body remarkably changed? No. No, that's also really funny. No. And I know many people who get really dedicated to the gym have that external idea of like, I want to change something or lose weight or so and so. No, I still cannot button my jeans that I had pre-pregnancy. Okay. I try not to weigh myself. I don't think my weight has changed at all. I really don't. But I feel more together, if that makes sense. Like I feel just as I'm walking through my day, I feel stronger. I feel like my body is more integrated somehow. I feel less pain. I threw my back out a couple of weeks ago, probably from overdoing stuff. And I was in the garden and skiing with Bear on my back and everything. And instead of like, okay, I'm frozen now, I can't do anything. After a few days, I'm like, hey, I think I'm going to go back to the gym, but do very gentle stuff and just make sure that I keep moving and that I keep getting blood flow into my muscles and that I'm still here doing the thing, right? That I don't fall out of it. And it became, you know, that thing I did, that little time I went to the gym, like that, you know, I don't want to look back at that as this past season. Like I want to keep going because it feels really good. And it feels so good being there, knowing that I'm actually getting stronger and the things that felt really hard are now not hard at all. Today, I increased the weight on like a bunch of different things I did and realized like even that felt kind of easy. Like I'm just, my body works. And I know my body works because my body was pregnant and grew a whole human being and birthed that baby at home alone and then has tended to that baby for 10 whole months, you know, without sleep, nursing all day and night. Like my body is literally a goddamn walking miracle. Like I know my body works, but that feeling that I've had for so long now of like, I'm not as strong as I used to be. I'm a little bit nervous sometimes about how I pick Bear up because I feel like I don't want to hurt my back. And it's just, I felt weak. Yeah, I felt really weak. And now suddenly starting to feel more stronger and more aligned. It's such a good feeling. Holy shit, it's such a good feeling. And yes, we know strength training is good for a gazillion different things. It's particularly good for women. It's good for our bone density. It's good for us as we age. It's good for our hearts and cardiovascular system. It's good for our minds. Like that beginning of this podcast, endorphin giggle. Like that's real. And I get the same feeling after a really solid yoga practice too, like that feeling of like being a little bit high on yourself kind of thing. And I just never thought I would have that experience going to the gym, which is this place I've hated my whole life.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
The other day, I had two things happen. Okay, I'm going to tell you because I'm a little embarrassed, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So Leia goes to ballet once a week. And this was a day last week where I had not made it to the gym, but I was like feeling very committed. And then I asked Dennis, I said, hey, have you ever seen like next door to Leia's ballet studio? There is a gym, right? He's like, yeah, but I don't think it's like a proper, I don't think it's like a gym. It's like, I don't know. It's something. And then I Google it and it looks online. That's like a really shitty website. But online, it looks like it's kind of a gym, kind of. And I say, hey, I'm going to take Leah to ballet. And then while she's at ballet, I'm going to go to that gym. And he's like, yeah, like a gym person. I'm like, no, not like a gym person. Just like a person who sometimes goes to the gym. And then he said, but hey, are you gonna like that? Like going to just like a strange place that might be tons of people there? And I'm like, yeah, I know what I'm doing now. Like I know what to do at the gym. I can go there, no problem. So I get all excited. I get dressed, drop Leah off at dance, and then I go inside. And you guys, it was terrible. It was so bad. It was the worst. It was like the worst day of the year. It was so bad. First of all, it was not a gym like the gym I know. And I realize now I don't know how to just go to a gym. I know how to go to my gym. That's the only gym I know. I don't know how to do anything. I can't just go rogue and go into a random place and think I'm going to be able to emulate what I do at my gym. No, the machines don't look the same, first of all. But second of all, well, maybe most importantly, I forgot my shoes. So I step in there. I realize I don't have any shoes. And it was not like a gym where people don't wear shoes. It was industrial, kind of outdoorsy feeling with like concrete floors. And it was pumping iron kind of gym. Okay. It was not like cute girl gym. It was pumping iron, giant men, 7 foot tall with huge muscles, wearing tank tops, walking around, knowing exactly what they're doing. And it was like a little CrossFitty, but it was all the equipment was really old. I don't know. It just felt like I did not know what to do. Okay. So I go in and I realized this was a mistake. I have no idea what I'm doing here. But instead of like being a normal person and just asking someone for help, which I should have done, I just became absolutely mortified knowing that I not only do I not know what I'm doing. I've never been here before. This is all muscly men. I don't know any of these machines and I don't have any shoes. Like I'm just mortified. Like I just felt so self-conscious. And I see in the corner, they had a few like cardio machines, which is not what I do. Like at my gym, I have been on that treadmill 0 times. There's like a bike. I've gone maybe once for 5 minutes or something. Like I don't do any of the cardio stuff. Like I'm just getting strong. Okay, that's it. So I see they have like these cardio machines. And I remember them from my youth, from that wonderful time in my teens. So I just head over to one of those machines. It was an elliptical and I have no shoes. I'm barefoot and I just get on the elliptical to like assess the situation. So I'm just there and I'm moving barefoot and I'm mortified and scared shitless. And I'm texting my best friend. I'm like, hey, I made a mistake. I accidentally went to this new gym and it's the worst. And there's not a single woman there. And it's just these big dudes in tank tops staring at themselves in the mirror, grunting. And I felt so scared. I did not get off the elliptical. Okay. I couldn't get off the elliptical. I tried to look at all the stuff and all the weights and I couldn't figure out a path forward. I couldn't make a game plan. It was like, it all required me to either ask someone to move from something. And I'm not in that. That's not where I'm at. Talking to strangers at the scary man gym. No. Or I'd have to go to a place like that I didn't know. Like, I don't know how to work this machine. I don't know what to do. I'm going to do it wrong. I'm going to look like I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. So did I stand barefoot on the elliptical, almost in tears for 45 minutes while Leah finished ballet class? Yes, I did. Did I sneak out of there with my tail between my legs, absolutely embarrassed? Yes, I did. the worst. Dennis came to pick me up. It was the worst. It was the worst, 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 worst. I am never going to a gym, like a random gym ever again. So that happened. And then the next day I was like, I'm going back to my gym now. I was so excited to like have my gym experience. It was the day the Tortured Poets Department came out. And I was in my gym feeling myself like so happy. I know exactly what I'm doing here. I have my little routine. I'm feeling strong. Look at me listening to all the Taylor Swift songs. And suddenly I was like, I was doing a core thing on the floor with a dumbbell. I have no idea what it's called. It's just this thing that I do. And it was getting really hard, but I knew how to engage to keep going. And I kept going, and Taylor Swift kept singing, and I kept going, and Taylor kept tailoring. And then all of a sudden, I had this full body experience of like, almost like at the end of a yoga class, Shavasana feeling, when you're just becoming one with the earth, and then suddenly you cry, and you know, you've had that. I mean, chances are, if you're listening, you've had that experience more than you've had weird Taylor Swift gym experience. I don't know. And I just felt so at peace. I had this, like a wave of peace washed over me as I'm there at the gym listening to Taylor Swift. It was magical. It was like a feeling of purpose. It was a feeling of just presence. And I realized, hey, I'm just in my body right now. And it's in this weird place with all these weights and this equipment and the stuff that I've judged my whole life. And even here, also here, I am healing something. That's literally what's happening. And it dawned on me that every day that I put on my shoes and I head out the door and I make it here, even though it's awkward and even though I don't know what I'm doing, and even though, you know, it's like, this is healing something. It's healing something for my 14, 15, 16-year-old self who spent so much time in a similar place for all the wrong reasons. And maybe instead of going to the gym because I hate myself, I can actually go to the gym because I love myself. Maybe I've been a gym person all along. I just had to encounter enough self-love to actually do it. Look how deep we just got. I could cry. I'm talking about the gym and Taylor Swift, and I could cry. Okay. Anyway, so that's the story of the gym. And I am so going to keep going. And I'm a gym person. Oh, shit. Does that mean I need to buy, like, do I need to buy clothes? In case you're wondering, I mostly go to the gym in my pajamas. Yoga pants and my, like, big pajama shirt. Like, I wear Dennis's long-sleeved, like, kind of sweatshirts to bed, and I wear them to the gym. Maybe as a gym person, I should take my gymming seriously, and I should, like, go buy a proper pair of shoes, or maybe, like, a sports bra. I don't know. Any advice from fellow gym people out there, please send them my way. I don't know if this story was relatable or not, but if you have been in that same place like me, where you feel like the gym is absolutely not for you and strength training feels super daunting, maybe this is your nudge, that what you need is a little bit of guidance. Because if I didn't have guidance, I would have never made it to this place. Like, I really needed someone to guide me in the beginning to get over the hump of all the awkwardness, you know, to know I'm doing things right. So maybe you need some guidance, and maybe you need Taylor Swift. I don't know. Maybe those two things have been missing from your path to the gym. Just a little piece of advice. But truly, feeling strong in our bodies is so underrated. So underrated. It's magic. It's magic. And it's a different kind of magic than the magic that yoga's always brought me. Like, it feels different. It feels more solid somehow. Yeah, I can't explain it. But you can apparently also have spiritual experiences at the gym. So yeah, there's that. I love you. Thanks for listening to me telling you this story. Have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful weekend. Move your body, take care of yourself, and I'll see you soon. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.